I am looking forward to unpacking God's word with you today as we continue the prayer series. You'll find message notes and discussion questions on the Bayside Church website and app as well. So the prayer series, this is part three today. Part one was Christy a few weeks ago, prayer as relationship, and then a couple of weeks ago, Amelia talking about prayer as attitude. I want to talk today about prayer as access, about approaching God, and that's my title, The Approachable God. And I want to use as my text the Lord's Prayer as recorded by Matthew in his Gospel, chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up at verse 9. And I invite you to repeat this prayer or to say this prayer out loud with me at the same time. Let's pray this precious Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful prayer that is. The approachable God. The first two words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, beautifully encapsulate the entire Christian faith. Our faith in Jesus is all about community and relationship. It is our Father together. He's not just my Father. God is our Father who calls us into community and relationship, a relationship with Him, first of all, that creates a connection between others who also have faith in Him, who also call Him Father. In Jesus' day, there were 18 synagogue prayers, and they all had different opening words. These were written or crafted prayers. And in fact, in the Bible, we find 650 crafted prayers. They're all there, ready for us to read in our own prayer life. And I encourage you to exercise yourself in that way as well. Often it's wonderful to be able to pray out loud and to pray spontaneously, but I find particularly in significant moments, it's a really powerful thing to actually write a prayer down and to spend some time then literally crafting that prayer until I'm 100% happy with what it communicates, and then I will read that as a prayer to God. Very powerful. And as I say, in Scripture, in the written word, we find 650 such prayers. Most of the 18 synagogue prayers started with the words God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. Others began with words like Builder of Jerusalem or Redeemer of Israel. Two of the 18 synagogue prayers started with the words Our Father. And it's interesting that they are the words that Jesus chose to start his classic prayer. But Jesus made one surprising amendment. He changed the word Father from Hebrew, Avinu, to Aramaic, Abba, A-B-B-A. And so in this message, I want to ask a series of questions to get us thinking and then to discuss some possible answers to those questions. My first question is this: why was that change controversial? Why was it controversial for Jesus to change the word Father from Hebrew to Aramaic? He broke with tradition. That's why. Because the Jews believed that you had to pray in Hebrew to God. They viewed Hebrew as a sacred language, and it was the language that was to be used in prayer. It's the same with Muslims since the 7th century, even to this present day in some Muslim countries, to pray properly, one has to learn the Arabic prayers, which of course is then a challenge for people who don't speak Arabic. Are they actually understanding what they're praying when they learn those prayers by rote? And so this was controversial because Jesus broke with tradition by praying in Aramaic, the language of daily communication. What he was doing was making prayer more accessible and God more approachable. What Jesus did in the Lord's Prayer was teach his people that there is no sacred language in which we are to address God. I find that incredibly liberating, and I reflect on my early days as a Christian in a church that used the King James Version of the Bible, and certainly nothing wrong with the King James, 1611, a wonderful translation of Scripture. But of course, it uses dated language. And so we used to read this, and it was full of yea, verilies, and hithers and thithers and withers, and all of that kind of stuff. And of course, when people stood up to pray in that church, they would pray using King James language. When God spoke to us through a prophetic word, God spoke. King James 2, yea, verily, my people, I saith unto thee. And I thought that's the way that God spoke. But the fact is that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to use everyday language when speaking to God. When I hear the voice of God, and by that I don't always mean an audible voice, although I have heard his audible voice a couple of times in my Christian journey, but invariably when God speaks, he speaks by impressions in your mind and in your heart. When God speaks to me in that way, and I guess you would find the same, God speaks everyday language to Rob, and I am so grateful for that. There are no yea verilies or hithers or thithers. We don't need to learn Hebrew or Arabic prayers in addressing God. You're not excluded if you don't know those languages. Just use your most comfortable language when chatting with your Father. Now, for most of us, that will probably be English. But if English is your second language, there may be a language that you know much better than English. And that could be more effective for you in prayer. Whatever language you're comfortable with, use that in addressing your Father. Next question. What did the word Abba mean to his hearers? Well, Abba originated as a sound that babies would use as they developed speech. So in the English language, we use words like goo-goo and gaga because that's the sound that we hear babies saying, goo-goo-ga-ga-goo-ga-ga-ga-ga, and other words like that. That's how babies communicate. But in the language in the Middle East, they heard baby sounds slightly differently to the way we would. Their babies would go, ah-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ah-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And so that word was then adopted into the Aramaic language and is still used in at least four Middle Eastern countries today, where Abba is often the first word that a child learns. And so in English, most little babies find daddy or dada easier to say than mummy or mama. And so babies will often say the word daddy first, which of course, you know, for dads like myself, that was really, really cool. Dada. And then they develop mama. And that's where the word Abba comes from. A great illustration of this is these two little babies having the most amazing conversation together. Check this out. How cute is that? No one else would know what they're talking about, but those two little guys, they're just having the best time together. And so over time, Abba became a word that children would use to address their fathers. It was a term of respect, and it was also a term of deep personal relationship. And so what a stunning word for Jesus to adopt right at the beginning of his prayer when he talks about our Abba, this term of respectfully coming to the Father in prayer and addressing him as Dada, Papa, or Daddy, just like any child would approach their loving father. And then, of course, enjoying a relationship with him and with their siblings. This is an essential truth. Right at the start of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us how to approach God, how to access God. And it's not by the things I'm going to mention to you now. We do not start when we come into God's presence in prayer. We don't start by asking for things. It's not a shopping list, you know, where we just come, oh, by the way, not much time today, God, I want this, 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 and this, and then you leave. Think about how you feel when that's on a human level, the human relationship, and how unsatisfying it is. We don't start prayer with that. We don't start prayer by confessing sin. I've done this on so many occasions. I got it wrong, I mean, and just come to God and, you know, I've got some sin. It's like you start groveling before the Lord and there's no point in that. The heavens seem like they are brass, which is a verse of scripture in Deuteronomy 28, verse 23. Your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze or brass. And it's like, you know, when we're trying to confess sin and grovel before the Lord, it's like our prayers bounce off the ceiling and come back down to us. Why? Because we're not starting in the right way. We don't seek to forgive someone at the beginning of prayer, and we don't complain about some trial or some problem. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to come to God through relationship, not conscious of our fears and our failures, our sins and our sorrows, our wants, our needs, our trials and temptations. We can address these later, but first, realize that Jesus has given his Father to be our Father. So whether you're praying on your own or with others, relax and enjoy the relationship you have because you've been adopted into God's family. Next question, where is God? Our Father in heaven. Now, in the ancient world, they were starting to get a picture that the earth might not be flat. They weren't sure. It could be round, but they really weren't sure. And in fact, it wasn't until probably the early part of the 13th, 14th century where people actually realized that the earth was a sphere. And so to many people in the ancient world, the earth was round, but it was flat. It was a flat disc. The heaven was above and the grave was below, or the underworld was below. And so if you are, say, a tribal person and you're just looking out at the horizon, it looks like it curves around. It looks like a flat disc. And so that was their perspective. This belief is reflected in much of the Bible. Language in the Bible about God being up there. And then there are verses in Scripture where God comes down as if he's an alien visiting a foreign planet. What they're doing there is just reflecting their view of things. Earth being a flat disc, heaven was up there and the grave was below. The word heaven, interestingly, is most often translated in the New Testament by the word air. Interesting, isn't it? Not as heaven, but air. We see one example of that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Look at these verses with me. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Same Greek word. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now we read that verse and we think, well, this is talking about Satan and the demonic realm. And what we get from that is that Satan and demons are in the air. They're all around us. They're surrounding us. Where's God? God's up there in heaven. And I know that as Christians, and I know people like this, they have this big devil and this little God. The devil's everywhere. Demons are everywhere, doing stuff, oppressing. It's terrible. God's up there. No. Same Greek word. God is not up there. God is in the air as well. In fact, he is as close to us as the air that we breathe. Just stop for a moment. Breathe in. Breathe out. God is as close to you as that. Our Father, who is as close to us as the air that we breathe. That's how Jesus starts this wonderful, wonderful prayer, the Lord's Prayer. So where is God? God is in us and God is around us, just like the air that we breathe. Effective prayer then rests on the foundation that God is near us and God hears us. God is approachable. God is accessible. Let's wrap this up today, and I want to look at just a few other verses of Scripture very quickly that communicate this same truth. Acts 17, verses 27, 28. God intended that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And then Paul quotes a 6th century BC philosopher poet by the name of Epimenides, who wrote these words in the 6th century BC, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Isn't that stunning? In God we live and we move and we have our being. God is as close to us as the air that we breathe. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, "In him and through faith in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence." The word freedom there refers to the sort of frank speech that is appropriate among friends. Let that truth sink in for a moment. Imagine you're with your best friends and you're in a place of complete safety and you're able to have really honest conversation flowing between you. That's the word here, that we approach God, this approachable God, with freedom, the kind of frank speech that you would use with your friends. That's how you can hang out with your Heavenly Father. And confidence, that is, we have bold access. We can approach God with boldness. That's what we see in the next verse, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And the last one is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three little words. If you ever want to memorize an entire verse of Scripture, this is a really good one to choose because it's so easy to remember. Just three words. Pray without ceasing. Now, I used to hear this preached and I'd always feel condemned by it because it's like, oh, pray without ceasing. How hard is that to do? I'm supposed to pray all the time. How does that even happen? But that's not what this word means. In fact, what it infers here in the original language is that we should always be ready to pray because God is accessible and God is approachable. And so the best modern parable I can think of to describe what Paul was trying to communicate by this is the text message. You get your phone, you want to communicate something just really, really quickly with somebody. So you're not going to pick up the phone and have a long conversation. You're just going to send them a quick text to communicate something. That's what Paul was trying to get across in his language 2,000 years ago. And so this is wonderful truth because it means that we should always be ready to approach and to use our accessible God, and I don't mean use in the wrong way there, but in relationship in every challenging time of life. Imagine this, you're at work and you know you're about to face a difficult situation, maybe with a staff member, maybe a difficult meeting's coming up, maybe you've hit a bit of a snag and you really need some wisdom and a solution. And so this is a quick prayer that you send to God at that moment to receive an answer from him. Maybe there's a challenging conversation with a friend or a family member or other situations in which you don't know what to do. And so you've always been ready to pray. Pray without ceasing. Send a quick text to God. I really could do with your help in this situation. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your wisdom. And then go into that situation knowing that God has your back. God is accessible to everyone. He is approachable. And so we can draw near to him with confidence that we are acceptable to him, not because of our works for God, but because of Jesus' perfect work for us. God is approachable. And so let's access our Father in prayer. Amen. Let me pray for you. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person within the sound of my voice. Thank you that you are with them. You're as close to them as the air that they are breathing. You know all about them. You love them deeply. You know every situation that they're facing, all the good, all the bad, all the in-between. And I thank you, Lord, that you have it covered by your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you've engaged with us on Bayside Church Online, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been kind of engaging a little bit over the last few weeks or months, and you've been just listening and taking all of this in, I want you to know today that there is a God. He's very close to you, as close as the air that you breathe, and God loves you unconditionally. And he wants you to know what it's like to have a relationship with him, to know his presence, to know his care, to know his goodness and his kindness and his mercy. And so all you have to do is just open up to him. Pray a prayer like, God, thank you that you're here with me. I want to know you. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you that you forgive all of my sins and you fill me with your presence and you give me new life starting right now. Pray a prayer like that. And then if you'd like to connect with us, we would love to send you a Bible some information that will help you get started on your Christian journey. If you're watching this on Church Online, you can just click on the link that the host is putting in the chat feed right now. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll find the link in the body of the notes on YouTube. Just click on that. That'll connect you with us and we'll post out to you a Bible and some info that will get you started on this wonderful journey of the Christian life.